Good morning, and I'm glad that you've joined us for the Let the Bible Speak program. Who in the New Testament is described as having the face of an angel? Who is described as having the face of an angel? Sometimes a person will say that when they see a baby or a small child, they'll say something like, he or she has the face of an angel. But who is it in the New Testament that is described that way? It might surprise us that it is someone who was hated and someone who was ultimately put to death for preaching the truth. The person that I speak of course, is Stephen, the first martyr recorded in Scripture as dying for the cause of Christ. Let's talk this morning a little bit about the man with the face of an angel. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the matter of truth. You may know about the story of his sermon that he preached, and he was stoned to death after that sermon. And we're going to read that account. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the story before the story. I want to talk a little bit about what is said in Acts chapter 6, what leads up to this sermon and then ultimately his death. And I want to use those verses to talk this morning about some matters of truth. We live in a world where people do not want the truth of the Word of God. And I want us to learn some characteristics and some lessons about truth. So I hope that our study this morning will be profitable and beneficial. If you're somewhere where you would like to follow along, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. Well, the account of Stephen actually begins on another matter. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, there were some in the New Testament church who were being neglected in the daily ministration and the care for their needs. And so the apostles gather the church together and they say, find 7 men who will be servants, who will take care of the needs of these widows. And Stephen was among them. Before Stephen was a gospel preacher, we're told that he was a servant. He was a man who cared for others. And that right there says a lot. So in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, the apostles say, look out therefore, brethren, from among you 7 men of good report. He had a good character. He had a good reputation from those in the community. He had already been living right and godly as he was supposed to. Full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, the apostles, will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them. So we find that this man is willing to serve. It's hard to find people like that today. And he was of good report. He had a good character and a good reputation. He was a good example for others. And he was full of the Spirit and of wisdom. This man was not a hypocrite. He didn't appear to be on the outside to be very religious, but inwardly he was not. He was also full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, a true believer, a true disciple, committed, dedicated, courageous, and someone who is going to put his faith into practice. Not a little bit of faith, but full of faith. Are you like that today? Are you full of the words of the Holy Spirit that come from the pages of the New Testament? Full or just a little bit? Some people have a smattering of faith. They have a smattering of the Word of God, just very little bit. This man was not like that. And I would suggest to you, friends, that we see a great character in him later when he preaches and he's willing to die. It's because he was full of faith. No half-heartedness, no lukewarmness, no fence straddler. But when you're full of faith, you will go to your death for the cause of Christ. And that's what he is known for. You know, his name, Stephen, comes from the Greek word stephanos, which is a reference to a crown. We get Stephanie and Stephen and Steve from this Greek word crown. It's a victory crown. It's a crown that is given to someone who is victorious in the Greek and Roman games. This man was spiritually victorious. He lived a victorious life and death, and he was a faithful Christian till the day he died. He was victorious, and we need to be spiritually victorious in that same way. So, we're first introduced to this man as a servant and as someone who is a genuine Christian. But we're also told about this man that he's a gospel preacher. And he preaches a sermon in Jerusalem. And there are Jews there who don't want to listen to truth. They don't want to obey truth. They don't want to apply truth in their lives. And so they find it easier to get rid of the messenger rather than to apply the message. So he preaches a sermon, and they stone him to death. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through the whole sermon. It's a great sermon if you have some time to read that in chapter 7. Stephen basically gives some history of the Jewish people from the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 all the way down to Solomon building the temple in and around 1 Kings chapter 8. And the reason he does that is he is actually addressing some of the false accusations that had been made against him, some lies that had been told about him concerning Moses and the temple. So he talks about and answers some of that in his sermon. Well, when he gets down toward the end of the sermon, Luke, writing the book of Acts, records this in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Stephen is preaching and he says to his audience, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." They don't want to listen to the truth. "You do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Now remember, he was preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching the Holy Spirit's words. Chapter 6, verse 5, he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 6, coming on down to verse 10 and 11 and 12 and so forth, he began to preach. Well, what was it that he was preaching? Well, he was preaching by the Spirit, chapter 6 and verse 10. We'll read that in a minute. So what they're resisting while he's preaching is not just his own words, but the words of the Holy Spirit. So you resist the Holy Spirit. They did that by saying, "No, we don't want to hear and obey. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute?" Verse 52, "And they killed them that showed before of the coming of the righteous one," that's Jesus, "whom you have now become betrayers and murderers." These are people like the ones on Pentecost, also like the ones that Peter preached to in Acts chapter 3. These Jews in Jerusalem, some of them were a part of that group that crucified Jesus. "You who received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not." You are not obedient to God through the law of Moses that was given to you. "Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit," that's the third time this is brought up, twice in chapter 6, here in chapter 7. This is the words of the Holy Spirit that they are rejecting, not just a man. "Being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." We don't want to listen to this. "And rushed upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, which is a euphemism for to die. And Saul was consenting unto his death. He's later going to become the Apostle Paul. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him. Of course, because he was a great man. And so he comes on the scene and goes off the scene pretty quickly in the account of the book of Acts. But what we know about him is very great. But Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Later, in Acts chapter 22, when Paul is recounting his conversion, he's going to bring this up in Acts 22, verse 20. And when the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, this is the martus, the martyr, Stephen the martyr, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of them that slew him. Saul was a witness to this tragic event, and he looks back and remembers it later. What a great man, Stephen, the man with the face of an angel. What can we learn about truth from this account? Well, I want to look now in more detail at chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, the story behind the story, the backstory, what leads up to this sermon. The text says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, this man who had been chosen along with others to help serve the widows, the neglected widows in the church, he's a servant, he's a dedicated Christian. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. He could work miracles. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, or freedmen, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. The first lesson that I'd like for us to consider about the matter of truth is that truth can never be shaped to fit our likes and wishes and our circumstances. Truth, and I'm talking about Bible truth, it would be the same as other kinds of truths, like mathematical truths. I can't say 2 plus 2 equals 6. 2 plus 2 has to equal 4, and I can't shape that into my own liking and say, well, I want it to be 6. So it's not just biblical truths, but other kinds of truths. Truth can never be shaped to fit my personal circumstances and my personal life. And yet, that's the very thing that people want to do today. These people in Acts chapter 6, Jews and others converted to Judaism, most likely, they didn't want Stephen's truth. They didn't want the Holy Spirit truth. And so they're arguing with him. The adversaries of Stephen really mirror what's going on in society today. Society today wants to remold and remake and refashion the gospel to accommodate their own desires. And so you take the Bible and you twist it and turn it into whatever you want. Or you get rid of stuff you don't like. You keep the stuff you do like. And rather than opening up our Bible to get understanding, Psalm 119, 104, through your word I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Instead of opening up our Bible to learn and what we need to do to obey the gospel and be right with God, people basically just either ignore the Bible altogether or change it and twist it and distort it to make it into what they want. Have you ever thought today about the questions that people ask about things in life? Used to, when I was young, people would ask the question, is it true? Have you noticed that that's not real popular today? People don't ask, is it true? People ask stuff like, will it work? Is it popular? Will it sell? Will it entertain? A lot of times advertising has to do with, will it sell? And there's nothing wrong with asking those kinds of questions per se, but the most important question in life is it true? And we're getting away from that. We see it with the transgender ideology and other kinds of things. People are not stepping back and just asking a basic question, is such and such true? No, we want to twist and distort things and shape it into our own circumstances and feelings. And so now, a man can be called a woman and compete in women's sports and go into women's locker rooms and so forth, women's restrooms, and everybody's fine with it, but people don't ask, is this true? And everybody knows in the back of their mind it's not. But because we live in a postmodern world where truth is shaped, it's bendable, it's shapeable, it's moldable, and you just push on it and shove on it like we used to do as a kid with Play-Doh, and you shape it and mold it and make it into whatever you want. That's the world we live in. And, you know, that really is the world that Stephen was living in. These individuals who heard him did not want truth. And they sit there and argue with him and disagree with him rather than saying, I need to be obedient. And we find the same thing at the end of his sermon. They're hard-hearted, they're hard-headed, and the word he used was stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Their heart had not been circumcised. The things that needed to be cut out of it that hinder a person from obeying, it had not been cut out. They were uncircumcised in heart. They resisted the Holy Spirit. They didn't want truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 7, thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And we need to get it at all cost into our life. And we don't need to be shaping it. When we try to shape it, then it ceases to be truth. You might like it. You might like the look of it after you shape it this way and that way. But it's ugly. And it's no longer the truth, and it will not help you. You may be happy with it, but it's not truly going to help you. We don't need to be asking, do I like this? We need to be asking, is it truth? We don't need to be asking, are my friends accepting this? We need to be asking, is it truth? We don't need to be asking, what do scholars say? What do experts say? We need to be asking, is it truth? But there's another lesson that we can learn about this. And that is, number two, truth will always bring opposition. It was true in Stephen's day and is true to this day. Let's keep reading in Acts chapter 6 and verse 9. The text says they disputed with him. We already made mention of that. And then notice also in verse 11. Then they suborned men. Some versions say, they secretly gathered men together. They secretly came up with men to say these things that weren't true. They suborned men, or secretly gathered men together, who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and seized him. This is a violent act of almost like kidnapping, and brought him into the council and set up false witnesses. Sound familiar? It reminds me of Jesus on trial, who said, this man ceases not to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council fastened their eyes on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And so we find that truth is being opposed. So we'll secretly plan to get men together to lie about the man. We'll seize the man. We'll get false witnesses to spread lies about him. Stephen's enemies argued with him. They lied about him. They kidnapped him. And ultimately, they would execute him. And the Bible is open about these things. The Bible doesn't hide the bad character of mankind. I wish the passage had said something to the effect that they all believed, or they congratulated him for his impeccable reasoning and presentation of the truth. They formed a line to be baptized into Christ. I wish the text ended that way. I wish the story ended like it did in Acts chapter 2 with some 3,000 being baptized, but it doesn't. The Bible sometimes states the brutal truth. We're reminded that Stephen was treated like Jesus when he was on trial, and he was opposed. Daniel in the Old Testament was mistreated. Joseph in the Old Testament was mistreated. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were mistreated. Paul was mistreated and put in chains. Stephen was stoned, and it beat the life out of him, literally. Those stones were larger stones, not little pebbles. And the reason that I'm told from historians that talk about this period of time, they say that the reason that they take their garments off, for two reasons. They took their garments off and laid it at Saul's feet. Number one, you want freedom of motion to swing your arms and really throw that rock. It will crush you and hurt you. 3 inches in diameter, 4 inches in diameter, a large rock that'll fit in your hand. You want the freedom of motion. And number two, you're not real far away. You're close enough where blood, the blood of your victim, can actually splatter on you. And so you don't want those outer garments getting blood splattered on it. You want the freedom to throw, and so they would take their garments off. This was brutal. And you're not going to die necessarily at the very beginning or on the first throw. It's going to be a torture and a punishment and a brutal death. But let's be honest, friends. In the 21st century, we don't have literal stonings, but we have people who don't want to hear the truth, and some of them are violent. They don't want to hear the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They don't want to hear the truth on homosexuality. They don't want to hear the truth on the role of women in the church or the inspiration of Scripture or the Genesis account of creation. They get mad. And especially on things like homosexuality, some of them will get violent and they'll yell and they'll scream in your face. We have to continue to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:11, which we do on this program. That's how we announce the program, where we speak the truth in love. But we're not going to change the truth. But the truth will often be opposed. Let's have the courage, like Stephen, to stand up and preach it. In a nation that many are opposed to truth, they will make up lies about Christians. People in our society today will make up lies. They will seize people. They will engage in violent actions. They'll burn things down. They'll loot and pillage and burn and go out in the streets and do violent acts. People will get hurt when you try to share the truth. There are some ideologies that are very dear and close to people's hearts. Homosexuality is one of them. Transgender is becoming another one, where you walk up and teach the truth to one of them, they will be very mad at you. but we must speak the truth regardless. And then number three, truth ultimately cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. I don't know exactly what it means for Stephen to have the face of an angel. Different Bible students and scholars have suggested different things. Did that mean that he had some sort of an angelic calm in his face? Did it mean that it was transfigured in some way and it literally had a glow to it? Or did it mean something about the fact that he had a confidence, an inspiration in him that shined forth like clear eyes burning with a light? I don't know. Different things have been suggested. But whatever it was not what the Sanhedrin expected. Stephen is not worried. He's not wringing his hands. He's not begging for release. He is calm and composed, and he preaches this great sermon, and he does it all the way to his death. He had absolute confidence in the truth that he believed. He had absolute confidence in the God that he served. And being full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit led him to become the first recorded martyr. We don't speak with Holy Spirit-inspired words like Stephen did, but we can take the words of truth. We don't perform miracles like he did, and we don't have Holy Spirit-inspired words, but we can take the words of Scripture, and we can have that same confidence in God. Can't we take that word into our heart and let it determine what we will do and say and be? Can we have the fortitude and the faith and the courage and the conviction like Stephen did? We're in an age, friends, very similar to what he was in. We know that this matters because he says in the end that he sat down, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne on high when he ascended into heaven. And he's ruling and reigning, and Stephen saw him standing also on the right hand of God. And he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. We want to go to the same place that Stephen went. And we can with that same character that he had in our life. Truth can never be shaped to fit our circumstances. Don't even try it. Truth will always be opposed by those who don't want it. And number three, truth ultimately cannot be stopped. In fact, as a result of this very thing, Acts chapter 8 says, the church spread abroad and everyone was scattered, Acts chapter 8 verse 4, preaching the word. The truth was not stopped on the day that Stephen was stoned. It actually spread farther. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.